before we get started, now what is your name, sir?
George Michael Wilson.
Okay. That's Mr. Wilson, that would be the Honorable Mr. Neal. Let's hold on for a moment, sir. The Honorable Mr. Neal will be conducting a hearing in just a moment, sir. So just hold on to the phone, sir.
Five-digit extension, you may dial it now.
Wait while I transfer your call. Record a message for
Dr. Lucy Bosiaga.
This mailbox is full. Hello, Cisco Unity Connection Messaging System. From a touch-tone telephone, you may dial an extension at any time. For directory extensions, press...
Well, we can't leave a message. So we're just kind of...
Should we try to call Dr. Robertson?
Okay.
Your name sound good.
No, we have a number. It's in the book.
Yeah, it's in the book, Jim. Yeah, give it to me. I have it here. I wrote it down.
Oh, good. I didn't.
Thank you. Well, you gave it to me. This is C.T. Wright with the Arizona Board of Executive Primacy, and we're in the process of holding a hearing, an IDD hearing, for inmate Wilson, and we wanted to talk to you, and maybe if you don't have any information, you could tell us which MD that we should be speaking with. So if you get this message within the next few moments, if you would be kind enough to return a call to us, we would certainly appreciate it, sir. 602-542-5656. 602-542-5656. Thank you so very much, sir. Thank you. Mr. Neal, Honorable Mr. Neal, we don't have anybody yet. Let me just ask one other question. Ma'am, do you have another number for Dr. Robinson?
Is that his cell phone? Is that the 520 number that you have?
No, this is the 602-255-2488.
Okay,
thank you, ma'am.
Write that down when you get that one.
Thank you. Yeah, you can put that one in the book, yes, ma'am.
Okay, sir, we're still trying to locate somebody, Dr. Robinson. I don't know if you've ever met him, but he's one of the, I guess, administrators of the system, and he signs off on a lot of the medical paperwork. We're trying to get a phone number to his old family because the doctor at the Tucson complex can't get hold of him and haven't been able to leave a message. And without some kind of medical testimony, it's really hard to proceed with a hearing like this. I could not come here.
I think we need to turn up this.
Would you tell us again, sir? We could not hear you. I know you're not feeling well, but can you speak up just a little louder, sir?
This is
Dr. Salazar.
Dr. Salazar.
Dr. Salazar. We don't have his number.
We don't have anything. We don't have anything from him at all, sir. And Dr. DeGuzman is the one that's out there at the Tucson complex. He was not available on phone to leave a message. We're hoping to have a better number for Dr. Robinson here in a minute.
Yes, ma'am, you can just bring it up. If you I can reach your right, you couldn't read my friend. I'm sure I can reach your writing. If it was my writing, I couldn't read my own writing, so but thank you so very much.
Okay, just
so,
that number.
Okay, so we'll try and this number and then I'll pass it on to you, ma'am. And okay, let's see here. This is C.T. Wright. How are you doing, sir?
All right, Mr. Wright. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Now that we can hear your voice, and we're going to, we're now holding a hearing for a patient, Mr. Wilson, and I think that the Honorable Mr. Neal might have a question for you. Maybe you can answer it, or you can put us in contact who we need to be speaking with by phone. So the voice that you hear will be that of Honorable Mr. David Neal.
Good morning. Hi, Mr. Neal.
How are you doing this morning?
All right, I'm just calling up this chart right now.
Nice weather we've got today.
Lovely.
Can you give us information on Mr. Wilson, or do we need to get a hold of a different doctor?
Well, I can speak to his case briefly. He has the liver cancer, and he's got just a whole constellation of complications with it. He's having trouble walking. He's got, you know, liver failure. He's got the esophageal varices, the reflux. He's had wound, you know, skin conditions. His problem list is very long. Of note, he had a necrotizing fasciitis, you know, the flesh-eating bacteria this patient's very compromised right now. For his size, you know, he's 6'2", he weighs 170 pounds. He appears to be holding his own from the looks at it, but he's on a downward trajectory.
Okay. So,
his nursing note yesterday, he is awake and alert. His vital signs are stable, but he is breathing shallow and he's dependent upon oxygen. His pain is well controlled. His wounds are clean, dry, and intact. And he's able to take care of things as long as he can do it in bed. He's just very, very weak.
Okay. Thank you. I got to look at this. I don't understand a lot of the terms, but it seems he has quite a myriad of things going on as well as the liver, but he's got Hep C and
high blood pressure, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, he's got emphysema, and of course his difficulty ambulating.
Right. Well, he's on the telecom with us this morning. And they had to lift these oxygen tubes, you know, for him to talk on the phone and everything.
Right.
So that's pretty obvious. Well, I realize that with, this type of case, it's impossible to say exactly how long is left. But the two things are adding up. Whether it's a good thing or not is something that Mr. Wilson may have to decide. But I mean, he seems to be, like you said, kind of holding his own, but that's,
my experience in these cases, and I have a year of hospice work, under my belt, what you see is the patient will plateau at a certain level and hold their own, and then there'll be a catastrophic cascade of events that will lead to their demise. It'll just start happening, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. I was going to say,
he's on pretty high dose morphine right now.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually an indication of how advanced it is. So if he refuses to be granted a commutation and release, would we have to have an ambulance to get to where he's going?
Yes.
The question here is, he's got some language name, so he had to have special transportation by ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to go somewhere where he would have pretty much constant.
Yeah, he needs skilled nursing.
Pardon?
He needs skilled nursing, but in cases like this, it's in a hospice situation, skilled nursing could be just nursing visits. And he doesn't need to be in a hospital.
Correct. But yes, he needs somebody around.
He needs supervision, right?
Right. Somebody around that can, call for help if it's needed or whatever. And
yes.
Ongoing treatment. At minimum, skilled nursing treatment.
Okay.
I'll see if any other board members have any questions.
Dr. Robbins, this is C2-right, and you may not be able to help me at all. But do you know anything at all about his family or who would be responsible for him if this board granted him clemency, sir?
No, I don't.
You do not, okay. Because that's one of the things that we do look at, because you have to have somebody to be responsible, and no one has signed in, to the best of my knowledge, for him this morning, and so that
he might be able to answer that question. I don't know if he has family or not.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you. I just wanted to ask. Okay.
Just for the board's information, Nurse Conlon, Amy, she's in the meeting with you. She's working on the process to clean this up, to help answer your questions before you ask them. She's quite competent. And one of the things she's working on is making sure that there is a discharge plan.
Okay.
And a discharge plan would include who's the doctor, who's the what medications, where's the patient going to live, how much care will they need, all these unanswered questions that you're having.
Okay, well,
so we're hoping to deal with that.
And who's nurse? Okay, so you're going to answer these questions for us later. Okay. Okay, I'll just hear back
to Mr.
Neal. Yeah, back to Mr. Neal, Honorable Mr. Neal. I didn't want to get ahead of myself, but I just want to get ahead of myself.
Okay.
All right, well, sir, I think we got the medical, the specific medical issues covered. So we're going to continue with our hearing, and what I was going to say is if you, you said you just pulled up there. If you want to stay on the phone, you can. If you have other things to do, go ahead by all means and do it. And if we do happen to run across something we need your expert information on, we can give you a call.
Please do. Yeah, my number, my cell phone number at my desk and in my pocket is, that's a state call, 520-840.
Okay, 520.
Got it.
840-8880.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The nurse gave it to us already, sir. So that's
our number. He's on the spot.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have found you this morning, sir. We would still be looking for you. Okay. Thank you, sir.
And please put that in your records because that's the phone I carry.
Okay. The Honorable Miss Rittenhouse has already put it in our records, so we can find you now, so you can't hide anymore, sir.
All right. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Please, anytime. And I understand you have some more cases coming up, so I'll be standing by for those.
Okay, sir. Yeah, we have two.
Okay,
more.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye now.
All right, Mr. Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I know you're out of the normal order of things and one of these hearings, but we need to get that information. If we wouldn't have been able to get a little doctor or something like that, we might not have been able to continue, but it turns out we actually have somebody in the gallery with information for us. So,
I do not have his discharge information.
Okay. You don't have anything you can,
Even though it's on, which I'm going to just give you a name so we can put everything on the record, please, ma'am. You can just, hold on 1 second, Mr. Wilson, if you can just give your name and, you don't have ADC, give your name and anything else you need to tell us, ma'am.
My name is Amy Conlon. I work over at the office of 1835. I am a nurse. I have been working on the process improvement for the clemency applications to include the discharge planner. Now, that being said, it's taking me some time. And shortly I'll be going around to all the facilities to give some further education and the reason that the discharge planning is good to have immediately as the application has started. As you know, every one of these patients, inmates, need some sort of plan when they're discharged. Otherwise, we don't know where they'll be. They could be potentially on the street. So I'm working on that process to improve it so it's laid out for you guys prior to the hearing.
Okay, so you don't have anything specific on this it's you're working on.
Yeah, and it's really, it's up to the site and the discharge planners per each site. There's a discharge planner at each site to work with the inmates to help them with their family, where they're going to go, special needs, hospice, palliative care, medication, etc. So that will have to come from the site. I can only guide and can't make it that
Well, you've guided us quite a bit this one. Now we have a little bit of understanding what's going on with that, which could be very beneficial because you've got to have all the bases covered, and today we're missing some of the bases, so let me get it out. So thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll see you again over the coming long period about it. All right, so Mr. Wilson, we're back to you again. I'm going to go over a little bit of information, just make sure everything's okay, you know, I can spend much time on what happened before. You know, other than here, you were serving 6.5-year sentence for trafficking and stolen property, and you had a concurrent 4.5-year sentence for narcotics drug violation, which has expired. Your earliest release would be May 30th of 2021 without any commutation of your sentence. So, we don't have any of your, you know, any family, any professional, there's no support here for you, sir. And your release plan doesn't have any specific information about where you would go or how you would get there, who's going to take care of you, because you can't take care of yourself. And under this type, of a release, if the governor were to grant you a commutation, you'd have to have somebody that's going to come pick you up at the prison and in a medical vehicle and take you to hospice or a family home where you would be staying. And we usually want some information about who's going to be actually giving you your care after you've been released. And we don't have any of that, sir.
I know Ms. Washington, counselor, Ms. Washington, I believe it is. She said that if I was granted clemency, that the medical people would help me find a hospice to go to. And my mom is also going to help me. She's going to be safe again. She lives at 4545 West Memorial Parkway, and she's going to talk to the manager to see if it's okay if I can stay there until I get to a hospice, if I was released in her care, or I can go over and spend some time with my family before I go. But other than that, it would be the counselor
commutation. There's, you know, we're looking at the medical side, the medical professional to, you know, a doctor preferably to give us a real good current diagnosis and prognosis. And then we look at the family or community support, bringing somebody here that says, yes, I'm going to take care of all of the process to get into wherever, and whether it be a family home or a hospice or a nursing home. It's a definite destination, and medically, the medical people want to make sure that you're going to have doctors giving you the proper kind of treatment and all that stuff, and all that is, we're working on a better system to get all that put together. But there's a lot of things that your counsel there needs to help you coordinate to make this happen. And for the board, we have to recommend it to the governor's office for a possible computation.
Right. Well, one thing I do have, I was in a care home before, and it's a hospice also, it's called Helping Hands, and that's what we were going to do, stay with my mom for a few days, and I was going to go, she was going to go with me to Helping Hands place. It's on 54th Avenue and Camelback. It's left-hand turn off 10. give a house there that I stayed in before. She would take me back and do that. Because I think my identity start, I guess, is done and all that. And counselor told me all that I have to do. It was 3 days before I'm most sure I can make a call and get my benefits wrong. So when I'm released, I'll have some funds. And I had a picture for maybe or something like that.
Okay, well, sir.
Access.
Yeah, but unfortunately, although on the medical side they're saying, you know, they would like to see me released to the hospice, I don't have anything as to your transportation, you know, that's I'm just, all I can think sort of is that I'm not used to having one of these type of hearings without having some support either telephonically or in person from people that want to help take care of you. And in your condition, without even, you know, without the doctors being here to talk about exactly what you need, I know in your condition, you need a lot of help and a lot of care. And we don't have any information. Say, you know, you say that you can't work because of your condition, everything. Well, understand that. That's real easy. That your desire is a hospice, but like if they hospice, you got to apply with them, and we've had a couple of cases that I can remember where there was the hospice was already there and ready to go. There was a transitional home to stay in for a few days until the hospice actually had the bed. And it was the transportation was arranged, and we had information about that. But they say that you're going to have an ambulance taken. You're not going to be able to ride in a car or anything.
I go in the car, and go to the complex.
All you need is my oxygen, that's it. Okay, well, but, I mean, Dr. Robinson felt that you would need to have a medical transport, not just an automobile or something. It wouldn't necessarily be an ambulance, but where there's some trained medical staff with you. The entire time you're traveling. Any of the board members have any specific questions?
I have one. I believe that, thank you, Mr. Neal. Just a quick one for our community corrections officer. Mr. LeBray, I recognize this is not your hearing, but I did want to ask this just for clarification or with our in-house nursing representative, and that is, if an individual is at hospice stage inside the correction system, they can see visitors in sick bay, can they not?
I don't believe that they can.
Is there any means to be visited inside? I'm sorry, I would have to ask you to come to the front. Didn't mean to put you out. You can state your name again.
Hi, my name is Amy Conlon.
Yeah, is there any compassionate visit for someone that's inside the Department of Corrections when they're severely ill?
I have seen in the past where they have applied for clemency and the clemency was denied, and they made special arrangements for that inmate to see the family and talk to the family on a more ongoing basis.
Yes, and I'm certainly not asking for the last word. It's the way I understood it the last time, but I didn't want to be assuming to have that figure into my decision, but it is comforting to know that there is a little bit of flexibility in that.
I believe so. I think it would be up to the facility and the
yes,
ordinance.
Understood.
We've been led to believe, and if you ask me to give any empirical data, I cannot, but I've been led to believe that they can have visitors while they're incarcerated, and that they were for medical reasons. That's what I've been led to believe. And but you are the expert, and we'll be the expert now that we know who to wear in there. See, we didn't know who to wear, so if you had not spoken today, you wouldn't have us to deal with, so we can deal with you. But just for my information, and I'm a little older, you know, than the rest of them. Now, what's your last name again, please, ma'am?
Conlin.
Okay.
C-O-N-L-I-N.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I know who I'm talking to. I know who to wear in there. That's the whole reason I'm asking. Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Johnson?
Ms. Conlin, it's my understanding that they do provide a hospice-type service for inmates that are incarcerated once they get to a certain level.
Yeah, they have special housing units,
right,
where they keep them, and then they have around the clock nursing supervision and assistance. In his case, that's where he is located.
Okay.
So he has access to nursing around the clock.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm trying not to call you back up on this one. So, does anybody have any questions of Mr. Conlin at this time?
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson.
Tommy Wilson.
Sir, in the morning, sir.
Yes, we got a 4 p.m. slip. So, Mr. Wilson.
Yes, sir.
We are nearing the end of this hearing, and we're going to go into discussion to make a determination shortly, but we would like to give an opportunity if you want to tell us anything else that you think might be pertinent to our decision. So is there anything else you'd like to tell us at this time, sir?
I don't want to try to change your mind or anything. I don't want to die in prison. And I do have support out there. It's been hard for me to get on the phone because my mom had another change to somebody who was making calls about scamming her and stuff. So the counselor got the phone number, and she asked me that she made one phone call, and I talked to her. And that's how I got all the information about who you knew to stay with her until I go to the helping hands. And I can't have access. I can't have a skilled nurse settings and all that. She can go over and see me and take care of me, whatever, until I get into the helping hands. And that's DOC, because the counselor reassured me that they would help me find a hospice to go to if I was granted clemency. And that's the truth, so help me God. And about the medical ride, I mean, I understand that, but I'm honest, whenever I go anywhere for like a 2 hour ride at Phoenix, I don't have a medical staff with me, and I'm not in an ambulance, I'm in the back of the van with oxygen tank, and that's it. I've never gone anywhere in an ambulance unless it was when I had it, necrotizing fasciitis. And, I just had radiation yesterday, so that's going to help me out a lot. Doctors, they told me that it's going to give me maybe a month or 2 or 3 to shrink the tumor down to relief and give me relief on my pancreas and my stomach. So I'm already feeling better today. The first day I woke up and it's going to be,
okay, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, you're starting to ramble again. Okay, the board is going to go on to a discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. We ask you to remain silent and once stay on the phone, but remain silent, and once we get a decision, I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay.
All right, the board is now in discussion. I I'm just really uncomfortable with trying to move this forward to the governor without more precise information on, you know, where he's going to go, how he's going to get there, who's going to take care of him, because you can't just put him out on the street. Have to have, you know, you've got to have a place to go. And we know he's going to have proper treatment. But rather than deny, you know, the moving forward to a phase two, I was wondering about maybe continuing this one. It wouldn't be a whole lot of time necessarily, but it would give Mr. Wilson time to get his counselor to get some of that information together, because medically I don't have a real problem with this one, but as far as where he's going to go and how he's going to get there, and, you know, what's the benefit, and who's going to be responsible for it. So that's my feeling. I think it's kind of like procedurally, is that something we could do?
We could continue it, but I would, I think it would, from my perspective, since nothing is here, I would think that his, we really need to hear from his family if he has any family, you know, or where his family is, and we can continue it, but we've got to take everything into consideration. You know, another concern that I would have, and not be, you know, I'm just saying this, I'm not making a decision based on this, mm-hmm. you know, is, you know, back in August past, he had, although it was informally resolved, I mean, he was unauthorized smoking. I mean, even with, you know, in this situation, you know, if things of that nature, you know, that and believe he's leaving the room now, I don't know where he's going.
I hear
he's oxygen.
Okay, so it's out of oxygen. You know, it's just things like that. I think that we have to take everything into consideration. But to answer your question, yes, sir, we can continue it.
If you deny moving forward to phase two,
if we deny him moving, well, he's already phase two, but if we deny him, if we deny him, then he can reapply tomorrow if he wants to. He doesn't have to, we don't have to wait. He can reapply anytime everything is ready, if we deny him.
Yeah, that might be a better
thing. He does not have, we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait 6 months or 6 weeks or 6 days. He can apply as soon as he's ready to apply again and has any information to offer this board. That's what I would personally prefer, but I don't want to speak.
What I'm going to say is if we continue it, it gives them some time, but we don't know how much time, because they can have a slot next week, or it could be 6 weeks, you know, we don't know. And he does need to get that information together, and that does take some time to do.
No family here, no family discussed at all. And that's a very unfortunate situation, but, you know, it's... That's one of the problems that we have in Sydney here. We have to make these tough decisions that we don't want to make, but I think that it would be...
He talks about his mother to help him, but there's not even a letter. And if there was a letter or something more like that in there, it's, you know, it's possible we could talk on the phone or something like that, but there's a lot of loose ends on the report side for him, so... Are there any comments from the room?
Yes, Mr. Neal, unless I could see the family here or a representative of who is going to take care of him, hear evidence about how he's going to be transported, know the address where he's going to live, and be assured that he'll have Medicaid coverage, I could not support this at this point. I cannot. And I regret that. I mean, I don't want Mr. Wilson to die in prison either, but without those things, I cannot make a decision. Thank you.
Any comments, Mr. Nelson?
I agree. I know that he's extremely ill, with a very short life expectancy, but at this point in time, I think his best care is going to be in the facility that he's in now. That's, you know, based on the information that we have, that's where he's going to receive his best care. And I think we have gotten testimony or input from the doctors about the system and what they do there. And they have the care there. Just won't he won't be out. And usually when we recommend accommodation, it's because family is asking to be with him. But we don't have any of that. So I think he's at the best place that he's going to get the best care.
Mr. Canova?
I agree with what you said in the first place.
Okay, well, based on what we have in our packets and what we don't have in our packets in our discussion, at this time, I'm going to move to, in the matter of Jordan Wilson, ADC number 104162, I'm going to not move him from phase two to the governor's office for his clemency request. And I said that gives me my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Agree. Second in my use?
Yes, sir. Whoa, I think it was actually Mr. Johnson.
Second by Mr. Johnson, free by Dr. Wright, Mr. Canovas, and Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Wilson, at this time, and it's really based on the fact we have no information on whether it be family or professional support when you get out, confirmation of where you're going to live, whether you go to a private residence for a while and then the hospice or directly to hospice, we have to know what that destination is going to be. And that your, you know, transportation is proper, medical transportation for the doctors arranged. So because of all that lack of information, we're not going to move this forward to the governor's office at this time. I'm not going to recommend it to the governor. But you can apply again tomorrow if you would like, but you need to get that information together about what's going to happen and where your care is going to be. Because this time, with the information we have, your best position medically is right where you're at.
Okay, I just want to say to you, I only had 3 weeks to they gave me the packet and they told me
to okay, well, sir, sir, sir,
yeah.
All that stuff is, you know, it's fine, but we don't have any confirmation of the information we need to move this forward to recommend to the governor. So this is going to end your hearing, no more discussion, and will you please put the CO3 back on the phone?
Okay, so do I reapply and come back again?
You can apply again as soon as tomorrow. But when the application comes through, we need that information. So we've got to make a valid decision about where, you know, how we proceed with it, okay?
Okay, that's good, thank you.
All right.